الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama and respected brothers, we begin off by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with life so that we can see another day. Many are those who were with us yesterday and are not here today. Then we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with iman. Billions of people are walking on the face of the earth, but they have been deprived of this eternal bounty, the greatest asset a human being can ever possess. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal asri, by the oath of time, innal insana lafi khusr, all of man is in a loss, except illa alladhina amanu, those who have brought iman, wa amilu salihat, and after bringing iman, they do good actions. Wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. They exhort and they encourage one another towards two things, haqq and sabr. The Mufassirin have written, haqq here refers to your obligations, the fara'id, those duties upon you which are compulsory to carry out. And sabr refers to abstaining from those things which are prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all of men are in loss except those amanu, who brought iman, wa amilu salihat, thereafter they did good actions, wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr. In a nutshell, we could say tawasaw bil haqq and tawasaw bis sabr refers to enjoining one another to do good and forbidding one another from doing evil. Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu anhu narrates this hadith, which is recorded in Sahih Muslim, a very famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadih. That who sees somebody perpetrate an evil action, then he should try and change it with his hands. And we know that after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, if you are unable, فَبِلِسَانِهِ, then with your tongue. فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, and still if you are unable, فَبِقَلْبِهِ, with your heart. وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ, and that is the weakest form of iman. Now let us analyze this particular hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That if you see an evil act being perpetrated, then you should try and change it with your hand. Meaning, if you are in a position of authority and you have the ability to effect a change, then you should do so. It is compulsory, it is obligatory upon you to do so. فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, but if you are not in a position of authority, you cannot effect the change, then فَبِلِسَانِهِ, you should speak about it. Not gun the man down, not degrade the man, not insult the man, but you speak to him politely, you speak to him compassionately, you speak to him in private. Speaking haqq is not about throwing or hurling stones. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah. That when you call one another to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you call one another towards doing good, then you should do so with wisdom. Imagine Fir'aun, such an oppressor, a tyrant. When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends these two great anbiya, Musa and Harun alayhim as-salatu was-salam, to Fir'aun, what does he instruct them to do? فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. That's speak to him in a gentle way. The ulama have written, we are not greater inviters to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these two anbiya. And neither the people to whom we are inviting, they are not greater oppressors than Fir'aun. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instructed these two anbiya that be gentle when you speak to Fir'aun, similarly when we speak to people who have the kalima in their hearts, those people who believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we cannot be harsh, we cannot be condescending, we cannot be ridiculing. There was a young man who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, I want to commit zina. Imagine he comes, you know, in front of the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says, I want to commit zina, such a great wrong in the eyes of Allah. What does the Nabi of Allah say? Scream at him, shout at him, ridicule him, rebuke him? No, the Nabi of Allah says, you know, imagine if somebody has to commit zina with your mother.
Imagine if somebody is to commit zina with your sister. Would you like it? You know, look at how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fulfilled the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah, that call unto the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wisdom. We must never ever look down upon the person to whom we are calling out to. If you are encouraging somebody to do good, or you are prohibiting him from doing a particular evil, never believe yourself to be superior. In light of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you believe yourself to be superior, you would not die until Allah will involve you in that very same sin as a punishment for considering yourself superior. So when we invite towards the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we ought to use wisdom, and we ought to look at that person as somebody who is sick. You know, when a sick person comes to the doctor does not consider himself better than the patient, because he knows he can also get sick at any time. So similarly, you know, in this one regard he is faltering, we are going to advise him, but there are many other aspects of our lives where he is better than us. So that is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has ikhlas, who has sincerity, who has acceptance. So that is the second category. If you don't have that position of authority, then for bilisani you should speak about it. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ. If you don't have the ability to stop it by talking out against it, then you should at least utilize your heart. Now, before I go on to explaining that particular portion, how to utilize your heart, perhaps the question could come to mind that every single human being has the ability to speak by and large. So how is it that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if you don't have the ability to speak? What is meant is that if by you speaking the harm will be greater than the benefit, or if you speak then there will be greater repercussions in terms of the general condition of perhaps your family or the Muslims. So you got to look at it in its context. You got to look at the situation. And if you deem it necessary with consultation, obviously, that in this instance I cannot speak, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَبِقَلْبِهِ. Then with your heart, وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And that is the weakest form of iman. Now, how do you use your heart? Generally, we must understand, and we think it means that we must think bad of it. That's only a portion. The first aspect of فَبِقَلْبِ is you should think bad of it. Thereafter, the ulama have written, there must be so much uneasiness and restlessness in your heart that it actually becomes manifest on your face. You know, when a person is in difficulty, whether it be financial difficulty, whether it be a marital problem, when you look at that person's face, you can see this man is not happy. You can see that this man is restless, he is uneasy. That ought to be the condition of that person who sees evil being perpetrated. He cannot do anything about it. He doesn't have the authority. He cannot speak out against it. That's the restlessness that he ought to have in his heart. And he must always be looking for an opportunity that, where can I use my tongue and speak about it? Where can I use whatever little authority I have and do something about it? He must always be contemplating that, what can I do to rectify the situation, to correct the situation. Let us pause for a moment and introspect. Today we talk about all the various evils. We criticize the evils. We criticize the people who are involved in these evils. But do we have this restlessness in our hearts? Do we have the concern in our hearts? Do we have that fikr and that worry in our hearts? Wallahi, when that fikr, that concern, that worry will come into our hearts, then we will start to see a change in the condition of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You see, one fatal mistake we have made, we have failed to realize that even though we may be obeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in our independent capacities, it does not mean that we will be protected and secured from the punishment of Allah if the rest of the people continue to disobey Allah. We live in a zamana where the word hurricane has become a common word. Tsunami has become a common word. We have seen floods on our doorsteps. We have seen storms on our doorsteps. We have seen earthquakes not very far away from here. So when the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, then it is a collective punishment, and for a reason. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. Then beware of that fitna, of that trial, which will not afflict only those who are oppressors amongst you. It's not only going to afflict those who are disobedient. It's going to afflict everybody. Why? Let me explain it to you via the example given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam explains with regards to those who obey Allah and those who do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that you have people on a ship and they have drawn lots as to who is going to take up which position. So some people are on the bottom level of the ship, others are on the top level of the ship. Now those on the bottom level, very foolishly they think to themselves, why must we disturb those on the upper level and go there all the time for water? Let's make a hole in the ship so that we can draw water directly from the sea. It's foolish behavior. Similarly, those people who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are also foolish people. Now, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? فَإِن يَتْرُكُوهُمْ وَمَا أَرَادُوا هَلَكُوا جَمِيعًا. If you leave them to do what they intend to do, all of you are going to be destroyed. وَإِن أَخَذُوا عَلَىٰ أَيْدِهِمْ نَجَوْا وَنَجَوْا جَمِيعًا. That if you take hold of them and you explain to them that this is foolish behavior, then they will be saved and everybody else will be saved as well. So the point I'm trying to make is that we cannot be content with the fact that perhaps, and I put emphasis on the word perhaps, we may be obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the required extent. We have to look at the condition of our locality, our community, and the ummah at large. In another hadith of Tabrani, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُعَذِّبُ الْعَامَّ بِعَمَلِ الْخَاصَّةِ. That Allah will not punish the general masses due to the actions of few people until and unless those few people do such actions that the general people have the ability to stop them, but they do not stop them. فَذَاكَ حِينَ يَعْذَنُ اللَّهَ فِي هَلَاكِ الْعَامَّ وَالْخَاصَّةِ. If the general people have the ability to stop those few people who are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they don't exercise that ability, then Allah gives the permission for the destruction of all of them. This is the point we need to understand. You know, a very famous story, let me just remind you about it. One day Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala instructs Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam that you must go and turn a particular city upside down, destroy them. So Jibreel says, inna fihim abduka fulan. That, oh Allah, there is that, specific servant of yours. And what was the condition of the servant? Lam ya'sika tarfata aynin. Oh Allah, he hasn't disobeyed you even to the extent of the winking of an eyelid. Such an obedient slave. So Jibreel is making an inquiry that, oh Allah, you have commanded me to destroy the entire town, but there is this one servant of yours who is so obedient. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond and say? فَإِنَّ وَجَهُ لَمْ يَتَمَعَّرْ فِيَّ سَاعَةً قَطُّ. You destroy him as well because his face did not change color for my pleasure when my commands were being broken, when people were disobeying me. He obeyed me in his personal capacity, no doubt. But when the rest of the people of that town were disobeying me, it had no effect on him. The change, the color of his face did not change for my pleasure. So that person was also on the receiving end of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. You know, let us look at our condition today. We live in an era where homosexuality has been legalized. You know, homosexuality has been made to be something which is normal. We live in an era where interest is consumed openly. We live in an era where all the different forms of zina are prevalent. We live in an era where, according to some ulama, not even 5% of Muslims perform salah with jama'ah in the masjid. Have our faces changed color because the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. In a hadith of Abu Dawood, it is mentioned, إِذَا عُمِلَتِ الْخَطِيئَةُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That when wrongdoing takes place on the earth, كَانَ مَنْ شَهِدَهَا فَكَرِهَهَا كَمَنْ غَابَ عَنْهَا. Those who witness it but they dislike it are like those who were not even present. If you witness it but you dislike it, then it is as if you were not present. And those who were not present but they did not have that dislike for it, it did not prick their hearts, then it is as if they were present. That is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَنْ غَابَ عَنْهَا فَرَضِيَهَا كَانَ كَمَنْ شَهِدَهَا. Those who were not present but it did not affect their hearts, it is as if they were present. Today we might not be going to the nightclubs, we might not be going to the casinos, we might not be going to those places where the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being violated, but the question is, did it affect us or not? If it hasn't affected us, then I'm afraid perhaps we can fall within the category outlined in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, sometimes we understand this part that yes, we have an obligation for Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, to enjoin good and forbid evil. Then Shaitan puts the thought in your heart that, you know, I'm far from perfect, so how can I tell the next person what to do? I'm far from perfect, how can I tell the next person what to do? Perhaps the verse will also come to mind. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, that O you who believe, lima taquluna ma la taf'alun, why do you say that which you do not do? The ulama have written that this is a misunderstanding. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, lima taquluna ma la taf'alun, that why do you say that which you do not do, he means, why do you claim to have done that which you haven't done? Why do you claim to have performed tahajjud if you haven't performed tahajjud? Allah does not say that if you're not doing something, you cannot tell the person not to do it. Yes, it's an undoubted fact that if you practicing upon it yourself, your words will be more effective. The impact will be greater. That is undisputed. But nowhere does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that if you are not practicing yourself, if you are not regular with your salah, you should not tell the next person to perform salah. If you are not abstaining from a particular sin, that you cannot tell the next person not to abstain from that particular sin. Actually, the ulama mentioned that once you start inviting people towards that particular good, it will become easier for you to inculcate it in your life. Hakim al-Ummat rahmatullah alayhi, an orator par excellence, a man to whose gatherings thousands of people used to come. How did he choose the topics for his bayan? How did he choose the topics for his discourse? He says, I used to sit down and I used to ask myself the question that what weakness do I have? And when I came to a decision that I have this particular weakness, then I would give bayan on that topic with this intention that, oh Allah, my ears are closest to my lips. I am the first addressee. So I am talking to others, but I'm talking to myself as well. So this is an invalid excuse. Sa'id bin Musayyab rahmatullah alayhi says, if only perfect people are going to preach, then there'll be nobody left to preach because nobody's perfect after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. So da'wat will see to our self-reformation as well as the reformation of the masses. The other objection is, Mawlana, nobody listens. What's the use of speaking? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran with regards to a nation that they were about to be destroyed by the punishment of Allah due to their stubbornness, due to the fact that they were obstinate, they did not want to obey the commands of Allah. And the pious people amongst them, right to the end, they continued to enjoy good and forbid evil. So somebody made the objection, لِمَ تَعِذُونَ قَوْمًا اللَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ, that why are you admonishing a nation whom Allah is about to destroy? What was the answer they gave? مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ, so that we don't have to be answerable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are two separate issues, do not confuse them. The one is the issue of you fulfilling your responsibility of conveying the message. The other is the issue of that person accepting the message. If he or she does not accept the message, they will answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you would have to answer as to whether you conveyed the message or not. That's why Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, 950 years he preached the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not get delusioned by the fact that his people were not listening. He had a responsibility and he had to fulfill that particular responsibility. Now let me tell you about my responsibility and your responsibility. The ulama have written that nubuwa has come to an end with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is no longer wahi, there is no longer nubuwa. But the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has to continue. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, that you are the best of people, you have been taken out linnas, not for your family, not for Muslims only, but for the entire humanity. So it's the responsibility of every individual to continue this work of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to continue with Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, enjoining good and forbidding evil. In one hadith of Abu Dawood Sharif, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu explains, due to time constraints, I'm just going to give you the meaning of the hadith. He says that how did the decline in the Bani Israel start? He explains the decline of the Bani Israel. He says a pious man would meet an impious man. On the first day he will tell him, look my brother, fear Allah, what you are doing is wrong. The second day he will give up hope. He will sit and eat and do everything with that man, but he won't tell him about what he is doing wrong. And he won't remind him that he needs to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a result, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, when this happened frequently, Allah made the hearts of the obedient similar to the disobedient. So we might feel, you know, I am obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when the community around you continues to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it won't be long before that has an effect on you. It'll have an effect on your children. It will have an effect on your spouse. It's going to have an effect on you. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this concern and he had this fikr. As is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, mutawasilul ahzan. He was continually grief-stricken, da'imul fikrah. He was all the time thoughtful and concerned that how do I convince those who have not been convinced? How do I convince those who have strayed? How do I remind those who have moved away from the sirat-e-mustaqim? You know, brothers, wallahi, one day Rasulullah Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites two verses from the Quran. The one is the statement of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam as he's leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah. He says, Rabbi innahunna adlalna kathiran minan nas. That these idols have led to many people going astray by worshipping them. فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. That, oh Allah, whoever follows me, then they from amongst me. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي. But whoever disobeys me and continues to worship the idols, then on behalf of them, I'm saying, oh Allah, فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. I have hope in your forgiveness. I have hope in your mercy. That's the one verse. The second verse is what Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will say on the day of Qiyamah. When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will question him with regards to his followers associating partners with Allah, the whole concept of Trinity. He will say to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. Oh Allah, if you punish them, you have the right to punish them because they are your slaves. But what is my hope? وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. If you forgive them, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. You have the might and you have the wisdom to forgive them. What does Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam do after reciting these two verses? He lifts up his hands and he says, Allahumma ummati ummati. That, oh Allah, my ummah, the hadith mentions for Baka, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam starts to cry uncontrollably. Jibreel alayhi ameen is instructed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that you go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and you ask him what is the reason for your crying. According to another narration in Muslim, it is mentioned that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said to Jibreel that my complaint and my cry in the court of Allah is this: I will never be satisfied until the last of my followers is removed from the fire of Jahannam. My brothers, I ask you, are the Muslims not paving their own way to the fire of Jahannam in today's time? And yet we are content with the fact that Allah has blessed us with wealth. Allah has blessed us with children. And we content with the fact that we are performing salah and we are obeying the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet the man whom we profess to love and follow, he was saying, Ya Rabbi ummati ummati. He was ma'soom, the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he had fikr for every individual of his ummah and nation. Where is that fikr? Where is that concern? Where is that worry of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Islam encourages us to see to the needs of our parents, to the needs of our children, to the needs of our siblings, to the needs of our relatives, to the needs of our neighbors, to the needs of our community. When we say needs, why is it that we confine it to physical needs? What about the spiritual needs of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Today the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is in a spiritual coma. And yet nobody has that fikr and that worry and that concern that the spiritual needs of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needs to be taken care of. As I mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kuntum khayra ummah. You are the best of nations. The doors of Jannah will be closed for every Nabi until Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not enter. The doors of Jannah will be closed for every ummah and nation until the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not enter. That is the honor. But with honor comes responsibility. Kuntum khayra ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, most definitely you are the best of nations. You have that honor. But the responsibility, ukhrijat linnas. You have been taken out for humanity. Now the ulama give an example as I conclude. They say that how unfortunate is that person? How unfortunate is that person who is dying of thirst but he has a cold glass of water in his hands? Now I extend that example and I say, how unfortunate is that Muslim who has Islam but he is dying a spiritual death? How unfortunate is that Muslim who sees the moral decay of the world, Muslims and non-Muslims alike? He has Islam in his hands and he does not take the solution to them. He's not utilizing the solution himself, and he's not taking the solution to humanity. We are going to be questioned with regards to this on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of realizing this responsibility. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us responsible for our own actions and for the actions of our families. But we cannot turn a blind eye to the actions of humanity, to the actions of Muslims especially. We have a responsibility, that figure and that worry of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we need to take forward. I conclude. I want to quote to you two ahadith. In one hadith, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu says, those people who love one another for Allah's pleasure, those two Muslims who love one another for Allah's pleasure, Allah will grant them such a great reward on the day of Qiyamah. وَهُمْ عَلَى مَنَابِرَ مِنْ نُورٍ. They will have members of celestial light, of nur. They will be so honored. يَخْبِدُهُمُ النَّبِيُّونَ وَالشُّهَدَى. Even the Anbiya, the direct recipients of Wahi, the Shuhada, those who have made the supreme sacrifice of giving their lives for the pleasure of Allah. In this regard, they will be envious of these people. And what did they do? Love one another for the pleasure of Allah. The second hadith, it's a hadith Qudsi. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, wajabat mahabbati lil mutahabbina fiyya. My love becomes compulsory for those who love one another for my sake. Now if Allah loves us, what more can we desire? What more is there to accomplish? What more is there to go after if you have accomplished the love of Allah? But if we want the love of Allah, then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Wajabat mahabbati lil mutahabbina fiyya. We ought to love one another. Now brothers, I leave you with this thought, that if your brother is dying a spiritual death and you show no concern, you show no worry, then can you ever claim to love your brother? وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ